In the name of the one true living God, amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. The end is near. No, not the end. We are approaching the end of the current lectionary year, and in a couple of weeks, with the start of Advent, we will begin a new year with year A and Matthew's gospel. How can we tell? Apocalyptic readings or readings that speak of end times always gives it away. Now, there are some, to be sure, who do stress that the end is really near. Just look at the headlines. There are nations that are not playing nicely with each other. There are wars, floods, earthquakes, and wildfires, and other calamities. Global warming is real. Another high school shooting. Another child dying in our streets. That post-Christian era I heard so much about in seminary. People putting God and church on the back burner. We are living in those days. But the coming of the Son of Man and the end of all things isn't what Jesus is speaking about this morning. That happens later on in this chapter. No, Jesus is speaking about the end of the temple in Jerusalem. We are told in today's gospel that some were admiring the temple, which was a sight to behold. Josephus, the great Jewish historian, whose writings have lived on through the centuries, wrote about the breathtaking beauty of the temple. Josephus wrote that the temple was covered all over with plates of gold of great wealth and great weight. And at the first rising of the sun, reflected back a fiery splendor. From a distance, the temple appeared like a mountain covered with snow. For as to those parts that were not gilt, they were exceedingly white. To Jewish pilgrims and tourists, the temple represented extraordinary magnificence. It was the symbol of the presence and glory of God, and something that was indestructible. But how wrong they were in thinking that building would last forever. Jesus said to them point blank that not one stone would be left upon another. All would be thrown down. And it was. In 70 AD, when Roman armies reduced it to dust, all except the Western Wall. Now, as I reflected on these words, I was reminded of my childhood and playtime with my younger siblings. We would often amuse ourselves with all sorts of things, playing catch or playing on the swings. And when we weren't outside, we played school, sometimes even church, and built forts out of large empty boxes. How many of you remember those times? Yeah. There was no such thing as, oh, I don't have anything to do. But anyway, there was nothing more fun than playing with blocks. And we seem to have had an awful lot of blocks. And we were always trying to outdo one another to see who could build the highest tower or the biggest castle. Of course, none of our buildings lasted very long because somebody would knock down somebody else's masterpiece. Accidentally, sometimes on purpose, either causing laughter or the letting loose of a blood-curdling scream as blocks tumbled down in every direction. Not one block was left to stand. To lose the temple, that magnificent edifice, to have it attacked and to have those massive stones be reduced to stubble, to dust, it was unthinkable. And to the living, it would seem like the end of the world. But the temple in Jerusalem would be one temple to fall. Because you see, the temple in Jerusalem is a metaphor for temples of all kinds. Sometimes life is like those temples, those blocks, those stones that are never indestructible, sturdy or consistent. It is ever changing, our lives taking those unexpected and unexpected tumbles. I'm sure that all of us, if there were time, could tell stories about those times. The stories about young lovers breaking up, a diagnosis, that job that was given to somebody else, the death of a loved one, a dream cut short, the closing of a much beloved church. There are those days when not only do our temples topple, but the world's temples as well. Certain people, especially those in authority, and things we once valued, are not living up to expectations, and neither are governments, social and economic systems, corporations, neighborhoods, and schools are decaying. And our temples of justice, pride, security, materialism, things we and others built will topple. And the church is not exempt. It isn't what it used to be when we were growing up. Once pews were filled to the brim, sometimes people standing along the walls. Back in the day, going to church was the first thing we did on Sunday mornings. Amen. Don't pretend like you were sick, because if you were too sick to go to church, did somebody finish the sentence? If you were too sick to go to church, what happened then? You couldn't go anywhere else. Yes, we are living in different times. We are living in troubled times where temple upon temple seems to be and is crumbling. And we face other realities in our time. Hunger is real, as are famines and strife. Nations continue to war against other nations. There are earthquakes and plagues, floods and hurricanes, wildfires and tsunamis, violence and persecution. Is there any good news to be found in today's sobering gospel? Yes. Yes, there is. For as much as we are living in scary and troubled times, we are living in sacred times as well. All is not hopeless, and all is not lost. When Jesus describes things that will come to pass, he is not asking us to whip out our crystal balls and focus on the future, or to cower in fear. Jesus is calling us to remain hopeful and faithful in the here and now. For in the rubble, there are things that remain unbroken. Things like the love of God for all people and the deep, deep desire within all of us to help another person. These things cannot be broken because they are among the many gifts that God gives to humankind. They are present in each of us despite all the messiness that surrounds us and sometimes is part of us. Hear me, saints. God has not and will not abandon the world. But God is giving us the opportunity to bear witness to God's kingdom, which is now. With God and with God's help, we are partners in creating a new world, one that is built on faith and hope and charity. The Apostle Paul reminds us in 2 Thessalonians that we should not be weary in doing what is right. We should not be weary in doing what is right. Saints of God, I don't know if you hear me this morning, but the world is groaning. It is ready for new life to happen. The world is waiting for followers of Jesus to stand and be heard, to testify and to proclaim the God we know. Jesus says that those who follow him will be given words and wisdom. Words and wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. And because this is so, we can work for justice. We can work for equality. We can work for peace. We can work for the dignity of every human being. We can work to heal the things that hinder and divide us. We can work to help build a world that is safe for everyone. The words from Isaiah this morning give us hope. They give us hope. For God says, "For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy, and its people as a delight." The temple was destroyed 40 years after Jesus predicted it. And you and I have seen enough wars, earthquakes, and plagues to fulfill these prophecies 100 times over. There has not been a generation which has not asked, "Is this the end?" But Jesus makes the point clear. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. And Jesus tells us, he tells us, keep awake. So until that time, you and I, humankind, are to walk with joyful hope and with faith and follow Jesus. We are to be co-creators in the building up of the body of Christ and of God's kingdom that will never, ever end. And know, sisters and brothers, that we do not go it alone, for we are assured that God is with us. Amen. Jesus gives us the promise that God watches over us, so that not one hair of our heads will perish. No, not one. Amen.
Amen.